Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Someday Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
I thank you for tuning in again this morning. As I appreciate every week you might listen to the broadcast, my prayer is that it is a blessing to you. My prayer is that the Word of God will enrich you. And if you're lost and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my prayer is that you would trust Him right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'd like to mention that if you have any comments to share, any questions you'd like to ask, I'd love to hear from you. The information on how to contact me will be at the end of the broadcast. And whether you agree or disagree, I'd appreciate hearing from you. I'd just like to know what your thoughts are. Now, I have a question for you. Do you believe your works can save you? I'm certain that there are many people out there who call themselves Christian or religious who believe that through working, they're gaining favor with God. There is a pervasive myth that exists in the world today that somehow, at the end of our lives, we're going to stand before God and He's going to weigh our life, so to speak, in a balance. And if our good deeds somehow outweigh our bad deeds, we're going to earn our way into heaven. The sad truth is, that's a lie. There just is no such judgment. The only judgment that you need to be concerned with is the judgment that took place at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Yes, there was a trial, and God, the righteous judge, found the world to fall short. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So, the trial was held, the world was convicted and sentenced to death because all have sinned. But God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, demonstrated His love toward you and to the world by imputing the world's trespasses, or sins, unto His Son, Jesus Christ, the only perfect sacrifice that the world has ever known. The only legal propitiation, that is, that which satisfied the debt, was Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Why is it that so many people, including Christians, are going about trying to establish their goodness with God when the only good thing that you can do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10. Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Paul was talking about Israel in the context, but I want to talk about you. Are you going about trying to establish your own righteousness because you are ignorant of God's righteousness? Are you unaware of the fact that Christ is the end of the law to them that believe? And yet here you are living a life under the law, regardless of what particular set of regulations you're trying to follow. It amounts to legalism. The problem with that is the religious world today stands in error, and grossly so. In fact, Israel, in an apostate condition in time past, is demonstrated in Isaiah chapter 1, and it perfectly matches the so-called Christian religious system of the world today. Let's look there. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. In the context, we're talking about the apostate nation Israel, but I think you'll find, if you look closely, a very similar condition exists in the world today. The so-called Christian world of denominationalism is full of its own self-righteousness. They've turned from the truth of the Word of God, believing that it means exactly what it says. They've turned unto the traditions of men, just as the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, and scribes did in Jesus' day. Isaiah chapter 1 continues in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Sunday after Sunday, churches on every corner in America meet in their solemn assemblies. They call their meeting rooms sanctuaries, and they call their leaders reverend and father. And yet in all of that, there is iniquity. Why? Not because they're sinners any worse than other sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Their problem is religious unrighteousness. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're going about trying to establish their own righteousness, and it is a stench in the nostril of a holy and a righteous God who only wants one sacrifice from you, the sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Look in Psalm 51. David writes in Psalm 51:15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken heart. When did the Lord break your heart? When was there a time in your life when you realized that you are no good, that all of your righteousness, as Paul said of his own, was as filthy rags? You don't believe that. You don't believe that the things you're doing are counted as filthy rags before the Lord. You think deep in your heart that you're a good person and that God's going to reward you someday because you help your neighbor, you don't cheat, you don't steal, whatever your case may be. But the problem with that is, that's not the requirement. God never said, you be good enough and I'll save you. In fact, just the opposite is true. Notice, if you will, in Titus chapter 3. Paul writes in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, not by works of righteousness which we have done. How much more clear does that need to be for you to understand that your works are not righteous before God? Even if you could do righteous works, it wouldn't be those works that would save you. It says, according to his mercy he saved us, and that washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost there in verse 5 has nothing to do with your flesh. The washing of regeneration was with Jesus Christ. He was regenerated. Jesus Christ was born again from the dead. Jesus Christ had the Holy Ghost renewed in him. You never had the Holy Ghost to begin with for it to be renewed. And you've not been regenerated, born again from the dead, physically speaking. That washing of regeneration was the regeneration of Jesus Christ. He was baptized into death. That renewing of the Holy Ghost was the renewing that took place when God raised him from the dead. And that resurrection was proof that we have been justified. So God says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How do men get saved? Believing on Jesus Christ, calling on him as their Lord and Savior, trusting that he died for their sins. Are you trying to work your way to heaven? You're wasting your time. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When did the Lord break your heart? When was there a time when you saw that you were lost and doomed and damned? That you were no good, that you're a sinner, that you deserve wrath, you deserve hell, and you cried out and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Remember the parable Jesus Christ spoke in Luke chapter 18? He says in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, he was religious, and the other a publican, just a lost sinner. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When did you humble yourself before the Lord? When did you come before the Lord with the sacrifice of your broken heart and say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner"? Why don't you call on the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Why don't you let the Spirit of God and the Word of Truth convict you and break your heart? When did you give the Lord your broken heart?
Friend, do you know the depth of God's love? Have you laid your soul down in His rest? Can you say you remember the day when He clothed you in His righteousness? Even if your heart is hardened, tell somebody, why don't you share his love? When did you give the Lord your broken heart so he could mend the pieces his word tore apart? What was the time you fell upon your knees, calling on the name of the Lord you believed and put your trust in the cross?
If you will approach the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the promise is that he will receive all who receive him, who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you could work your way to heaven, you would brag through eternity of the good that you did. God fixed it so that not one person could take one claim for any credit ever done for salvation except the Lord Jesus Christ. And he alone will be glorified throughout eternity for the mercy that God shed forth abundantly through him on you. Why will you not receive that? And if you will, believing that salvation is by grace through faith and not of works, then you can begin to understand where works fit into the picture. The very next verse there in Ephesians 2 is verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We that are saved should walk in good works. And that's the second point of my message today. But before I leave the thought of works, notice with me in Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verse 4 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." If you're working, you're expecting that God owes you something. Verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Why would you not let your faith be counted for righteousness? That is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The faith isn't even your own. It comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. And when you hear the truth of the gospel of Christ, and you believe it, you're saved based upon the work that he did. At that point, you're a child of God. At that point, you can walk in newness of life, and you can walk in good works that God created you unto. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You couldn't produce a good work if you're lost, if your life depended on it. The only thing you can do is trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now that you're saved, if you're saved, the work begins. The work cannot begin until you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Notice in Romans chapter 12, Paul writes in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Then we that are saved by the mercies of God, Paul beseeches us. That is to say, in light of the fact that God saved you and had mercy upon you, not by works of righteousness, but by his mercy he saved us. In light of that truth, why would you then not present your body a living sacrifice? I see two kinds of people under the context. I see those who are saved who are still in that religious system that is teaching falsehood. and you're all caught up in the flesh and demonstrating through the flesh your service to God so that others can glory in it. I'm talking about any physical manifestation like speaking in tongues, water baptism, lifting your hands up, and all this kind of stuff. That's all a display. It's called a fair show in the flesh. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The only public profession you need to make is your testimony. If somebody says, are you a Christian? You say, yes, because Christ died for my sins. I don't need you to demonstrate by some bunch of rigmarole. And then the second group I see are those that are saved and they know the truth. We'll call them grace believers, but they wouldn't lift a finger to witness the gospel of Christ. They want to get fed constantly and never want to pour out that which overflows from them. So you've got the zealous Christian who's working for God, not according to knowledge. And then you've got the Christian who has the knowledge, but won't work for the Lord. We're talking about saved individuals here. In the song we just heard, the second verse talks about, why would you not tell the lost and dying world about your salvation? In either case, whether you're a lazy Christian or a zealous Christian affected in a bad work, you need to have a change of mind. And yes, that is the word repent. Repentance is a good thing when it's done right, you know that? Repentance means to reconsider. Reconsider that which you're doing. How many people are getting saved because you speak in tongues? How many people are getting saved because you go to church every Sunday? How many souls have heard the gospel of Christ through your mouth because you lift your hands up and you sing rock and roll music for an hour and a half in a church service somewhere? The answer is a big fat zero, and you know that, and you don't want to admit it to yourself. How about you that know the gospel of Christ and you don't ever open your mouth to tell anybody? You got a lot of knowledge. You got a lot of doctrinal wisdom. But where is the burden on your soul to share the truth with people around you that are lost? Instead of just saying, well, I know the truth and I'm right, how about have a heart of compassion towards them that perish? The servant of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. The point of all this is, prove that which you're doing and find out whether or not it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. What are you doing to bring about God's will? Are you wasting God's time by carrying around a bunch of religious mumbo jumbo, thinking that's going to impress somebody? Or are you wasting your time doing nothing? The proper way to demonstrate the truth and to measure that which you're doing to see if it is acceptable and if it is that perfect will of God is to compare it with the Word of God. Compare it with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ written unto you through your apostle, the Apostle Paul. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you a good steward of the mysteries of God? Do you even know what they are? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Where do you find the form of sound words that we've heard from Paul? In the 13 letters that he wrote. In chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hold fast the words you heard of me, the things you've heard of me. In verse 7 he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The gospel of your salvation is the gospel of Christ committed unto the Apostle Paul. The only work left for you to do is to preach that gospel. to rightly divide the word of truth in order that men can be saved through the gospel of Christ and come to the knowledge of the truth through rightly dividing the word of truth. In Romans 13, Paul said, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." What are you doing with the time that's left? How are you serving the Lord in your body, and how are you presenting it as a living sacrifice to God? If your work is to be acceptable unto God as a saved individual, it must be in one accord with the Word of God rightly divided. If you're saved, why don't you submit your work to the Lord Jesus Christ? He might need to break your heart again so that you would walk upright according to the truth of the gospel of the grace of God. If God's will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, then find something to do that will bring about that will in the lives of those you know. Will you allow the Word of God to break your spirit, break your heart, break you like bread, and believe and teach and cling to the truth? When did you give the Lord your broken heart? I thank you for listening. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.